has his own special brand of personal commitment. He was a star high school football player and class valedictorian, and after that he began a brilliant naval career at Annapolis. Within 2 years of graduation, he was a hero in World War II, and he later became the youngest naval officer ever promoted to flag rank. He retired from the Navy 2 years ago. Today, he's an outspoken advocate of a strong national defense, and he's seeking nomination to run for the United States Senate from Virginia. He's here to speak to us this morning and to answer any questions that you might have following his talk. It's my great pleasure to introduce the former Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Elmo R. Zumwalt, Jr. Admiral.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful to be here. I'm not sure I can keep up with all that wonderful humor that you've read and heard. So let me start off on a serious note by reporting to the ladies that when the Navy did itself the honor about 3 years ago of selecting for the first time in naval history a woman to be an admiral, the head of our nurse corps, Miss Aline Durek, and as she was awarded her 2 stars in a ceremony, my picture appeared in newspapers around the land kissing her. I received soon thereafter a letter from an old friend saying, "Dear Bud, I never thought I'd live to see the day when the Chief of Naval Operations was kissing an admiral." And I promptly sat down and wrote right back, "Old friend, you need to be aware that nobody ever becomes the Chief of Naval Operations without having kissed a lot of admirals." I want to talk to you this morning about the shifting military balance and the consequences of that shift in terms of foreign policy, because I think it's timely in view of the fact that our 1976 political races are clearly beginning to focus on this as one of the major national issues. In order to get adequately a frame of reference from which to measure in a subject which is as complex as any existing and which one could lecture about for hours, one has to paint a quick mosaic beginning with the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis in October of 1962, just a little over 13 years ago. You will recall that the man who is today the foreign minister of the Soviet Union, Andrei Gromyko, speaking to us about the virtues of détente, was then lying to the President of the United States about what the Soviets were up to in Cuba, while that President, Mr. Kennedy, had in his hand the physical evidence of his falsehood, the construction of missiles in Cuba. What the Soviets were about was to seek to double the megatonnage they could bring to bear and to cut in half the warning time with a sudden, massive move to overcome our generation-long advantage in the strategic nuclear field, because they had perceived how important that was to us and how bad for their objectives. And when they were caught with their missiles down, and when, as Secretary Rusk suggested, we stood eyeball to eyeball until they blinked, you can be very sure that it was because they had made the rational calculation that they had no alternative. They had to do another calculation. They had to drop below the level of strategic nuclear power and look at the conventional military part of the totem pole. And they didn't like their options there either.